Welcome to Get Over It, the Consciousness Transforming Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. Hey guys, Kak is back, and she's going to be talking about her latest book, and that is Essential Oils for Beginners, A Guide to What They Are and How to Use Them. And this time of the coronavirus, we need all the help that we can get, and you'll be surprised at how much essential oils can help you. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you shift your consciousness to breakthrough blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of the BS that has been holding you back. But you know, I always ask the question, are you really ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing cutting-edge information that enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Churches Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I also author 2 books. I provide consultations and healings regarding all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your very best life. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence, but they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist, so whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. As I said, Kak is back. Kak Young has earned 3 doctorates, one as a PhD in natural health, one as an ND in neuropathy, and she is also holding a doctorate in clinical hypnotherapy. She is also a licensed religious science minister. An active television professional for over 30 years, she has won awards for producing and directing. And besides being a producer and director, she also has a studio for, she was a studio executive, I should say, for Universal as a consultant and advisor to many Hollywood industry companies, studios, and the stars. Now, Kak has traveled extensively to get firsthand the information and the knowledge from world religions, belief methods, practices, and disciplines, and it's her goal to bring this awareness to the public at large. She believes that every desire must be spiritually connected and consciously infused in order for change to transpire. You can check her out. Oh, she's also written 21 self-help books, so check her out at her website, and that's kakyoung.com. And she has also written on the healing art of essential oils, and you can find that on this channel. Just scroll back a little bit, and you will find her interview there. Welcome, Kak.
Thank you, Monique. My goodness gracious, between the two of us, good grief.
I know. So in this time of the coronavirus, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I think that, you know, preparation is our biggest weapon against this disease. And it is, you know, you need to be weaponized. It is something that it's sneaky. It's a ninja. It comes over the walls. It creeps into your cracks. It surprises you with its attack. And it's, you know, it's not fun to be vigilant all the time. It's not fun, but if we want to live and if we want to see, you know, next Labor Day, we better be really careful how we are interacting with the rest of humanity.
That is so true. And, you know, it's for folks that are just popping out of the womb to folks that are 100 and something years old. Nobody is immune. I don't understand why people don't understand that. But let's delve into essential oils and how can essential oils help us with this. First of all, let's start out with what are essential oils? What are they really?
All right, essential oils are not really oils at all. They are the vital liquid that's present and living inside every plant. They're termed oils because they don't mix with water. But in chemistry terms, they are aromatic, volatile substances, not that they explode like we think when, a volatile person or some kind of a missile explodes, but they give off a scent lasting anywhere from 2 to 24 hours. So volatile means that it gives off an aroma or a scent. Mm-hmm. Now, in a plant, these scents and these aromas and these oils that go up and down the stems and throughout the body of the plant, they are meant to protect the plant from viruses, from bacteria, from microbes, and for invaders that would harm the plant. So that's what they are. That's their purpose. And if we're smart, we will use them and their various different properties. Each essential oil has a little stack of properties that goes with it. So not everyone is antibacterial, not everyone is antiviral, not everyone is antimicrobial. Some are nervine, which means uh-huh. that they can help the nervous system. So when we look at essential oils, you know, we say, ooh, not only what smells pretty and what appeals to me, that's one level. But the other level is what do they do? What kind of skills? It's like, you know, looking for people to help you with around your house. If you need a carpenter, you don't call a plumber. So that's what you do. You separate them into what they can accomplish, uh-huh. and then you begin to integrate them into your life.
Well, you know what I like about your book, Essential Oils for Beginners, you talk about for each of the 20 essential oils that you explore in the book, you talk about the source, the benefits of the oil, the precautions in using the oil, creative ways to use the oil, and what the oils blend with. So it gives a very base level elementary read on each of the oils so that, you know, Joe Smo can go buy an oil and learn about it and use it effectively and safely. How do the essential oils basically work with the body? Pick one of your favorites and let's go through how that works with the body.
Well, let's take lavender. And by the way, Joe Schmo did call me personally and he asked me to write this book. He said, you know, I've been looking for a book. Uh-huh. And I said, Joe, I'll write this for you. Don't worry
uh-huh.
about it.
There you go.
No, but it's really true, and I'll answer your question in a second. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to comment on that. Essential oils can be very complicated. There are lots of layers to learning about essential oils. It's not just that they smell pretty and that they can help you, but there's chemistry to them that when you put them together, they have a synergy and they do something. That also works in perfumes. They also there's also safety precautions. There's age-related precautions. So you really do have to learn a little bit about them before you start saying, oh, yeah, let me just crack off that top and, you know, do this with uh-huh. that. No, you have to be a little bit more responsible. It's kind of like you should learn a little bit about alcohol before you start drinking it at 21, you know. That's uh-huh. what I think. But that's why I wrote the book. You know, Mr. Schmo said, you know, I need to start from the beginning. And I said, all right, Joe, we'll do this just for you. Yeah. you started.
I know. But the information shared in your book, though, is so important for our present moment. And, folks, you know, she subtitled it, you know, Essential Oils for Beginners. But this is for anyone. Even if you think that you have been around essential oils forever and there's something in her book for you to learn. Can essential oils ever hurt us? I mean, is there a negative downside to using essential oils?
Well, yes, they can. They can. I want to answer your other question first, if I may, uh-huh. and that is, how do they work in the body? Well, okay. it works. It's very interesting because we're all listening to the news and we hear about how the coronavirus enters our body. Well, essential oils, when you inhale it, for example, you are inhaling molecules. Whether or not you get it from a diffuser or a nebulizer, you're still inhaling molecules. Those molecules go up through your nose into the olfactory receptors, and they cross into the brain. They cross the blood-brain barrier because they're absorbed, by the cells in the brain, and they react in the limbic system. The limbic system is, and the hypothalamus. Now, the hypothalamus controls the nervous system. So if you're looking to relax, you can use essential oils to inhale, and it will go to the hypothalamic system, and it will begin to relax you through the nervine qualities in the essential oil. If you are looking to do some other kind of change in your body, it will land in the limbic system, and the limbic system will then decide. Now, the limbic system is also the place where our emotions and our memories are stored. So a scent can trigger a memory, good or bad. You can also use this as the healing center. So if you want to process something emotionally in your body, you would use the tool of an essential oil in order to reach that, to bring back that sensation, good or bad, and then work with it. So it's a good therapeutic tool as well.
Okay, so why do they work so well for humans?
Well, they work well because we are akin to the plant kingdom. And if they work in a plant, they're probably going to work for us too. Like I said, when we inhale them, for example, and I never suggest that we ingest them, but when we inhale them, we bring them into our body, and they are like a lock and a key. They know what to do. They have their assignments. Like we talked earlier, whether they're antimicrobial, antiviral, antibacterial, whatever the qualities are, they know what to do. They've already been pre-programmed. So they will go to the area of your body that needs that particular care.
Okay.
So it's, yeah, they're DNA. So then your other question was, are they harmful? Can you harm them? Yes, you can. And I have had several students come to me and say, I put bergamot all over my chest, and then I went and did yoga on the beach, and I ended up with this. And then there's a reveal, and there's a big dark scar that almost looked as dark as a birthmark does. And I said, oh, well, it's phototoxic. And the chemistry of the bergamot essential oil interacts with the sun's rays, and it causes a burn in the epidermis. And so, yikes. Many essential oils are like that. A lot of the citrus oils are like that. Some are not, but it depends on how they're extracted. And this is how it gets complicated. You know, you could have a cold-pressed lemon oil. You could have an extracted lemon oil that's distilled, and they will have different chemical properties. So you have to know what you're doing. But generally the rule of thumb is if it's citrus, don't wear it in the sun.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Well, you know, there's so many different essential oils on the market. How do you know what to buy? I mean, there's therapeutic, there's organic, some don't have, I don't think, any essence of a plant in them at all. So how do you truly source out a pure essential oil? Because we don't want to put crap on our bodies or smell crap, right?
Yeah. Well, that's where it gets really interesting for me. That's probably the area which started me writing about essential oils because, you know, if something is popular in a market, people will cut it with anything, you know? I mean, we've all seen the movies where they get a bunch of cocaine and they cut it with baby powder and powdered sugar and whatnot. So by the time you know, it hits the streets, the people are not getting pure illicit drugs. They're getting something that's been cut down. Well, that happens in essential oils, too. And what affects essential oils as well is how they're shipped, how they're stored, how they're harvested, what the conditions are, and, of course, how they're grown. So if an essential oil is grown with pesticides or the area has been controlled by pesticides, then when the oil is distilled or extracted, it is reduced and reduced and reduced. Like in French cooking, you get a reduction sauce. Uh-huh. You get the absolute mere essence of the oil. So it's very concentrated. It is the purest, most concentrated, powerful form of that oil that exists in the world. So if it has been touched by toxins in any sense, and that is animal feces, that is pesticides, any of that is now down, you know, to the hundredth power. So you're putting that on your body. Therefore, the rule is you either buy 100% pure, and it has to say those words. It can't say 100% natural and pure. No, it's 100% pure, or 100% organic, or wild crafted. Now, those are the only three terms. There are people out there, there are multi-level sales groups that will say, oh, well, ours is, you know, organic and pure and all this because it's therapeutic. No, therapeutic is not a category. Therapeutic is a modifier. It is a marketing term. So anything that says therapeutic, anything that says kind of sort of natural or, you know, mama's homemade, any of that, that's ridiculous. You want to stick with organic, 100% pure, or wildcrafted, the end, because your body will take in whatever is in that bottle.
Okay, so I'm looking at a bottle of essential oil right now. It says 100% pure essential oil, therapeutic grade. Good,
well,
or does it go under trash?
No, no, it's fine. It says 100% pure essential oil. Now, the therapeutic grade is, you know, something they've tagged on. Now, if it said therapeutic grade essential oil, that goes in the trash.
Trash, okay, without the 100% pure. Okay, got you.
Yeah, 100% pure. And you don't want to say 100% Indian pure, you know, you got to have 100% pure. The
just
end.
Pure.
That's
yeah.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bottom line,
or,
that
you know, or Alaskan pure, or any of that. You don't want anything. Those are the words. Those are the words.
Okay.
And the problem is that the FDA does not regulate this stuff. There are guidelines that you have to follow under what is, you know, in order to call something 100% pure. But that's the only protection that we really have with people who would, you know, take salad oil and mix it with a little lavender and say, here you go, there's some therapeutic oil for you.
Yeah. Well, why is there such a disparity in price? If it's, you know, 100% pure essential oils, you can find it from, you know, $5 a bottle up to, you know, $100 a bottle. Why such a disparity in the pricing?
Well, that's the mystery. Usually, if it says 100% pure, is it 100% pure lemon oil, or is it lemon oil mixed with coconut oil? So you have to look at what the claim is and how much marketing is on the bottle. So the only way to do that is to have this, you know, gas chronometer test, and nobody can afford to do that, really. Some essential oils you buy in bulk will come with the listing of that because the distributor has done that testing for you. But in ordinary over-the-counter, it depends on the manufacturer. Now, people like Oracacia, they're all priced, you know, around the $15 to $25 price for a bottle of oil. Stuff that you would find in your department store, you know, might be $5, $7. Read the label. There's a real kind of interesting, and I use a scam in quotes, Robert Tisserand here in the United States is he has written a book called Essential Oil Safety, and it's a 3-inch thick book. He's a scientist. His co-author, Robert Young, they've done a fabulous job. there is a Robert Tisserand in England. Now, Robert Tisserand in England manufactures oils. So if you are a follower of Mr. Tisserand here in the States and you see oils in the department store that say Tisserand on them, they're not Robert Tisserand that we know, and they don't say that they're 100% pure or organic. So somebody with the same name is marketing over here thinking that people will say, oh boy, if it's a Tisserand name, it's got to be good. It's got, So there's one little tricky thing that's going on. Now, I have not had Robert Tisserand UK. I've not had his oils graded. I haven't looked at the quality. But you get three of them for like $10 in a little container. And that right there tells me, no, they're probably mixed with something, or, you know, and oils can be ruined. I mean, if they're coming in the hold of a ship across the waters from someplace, then you want to be careful about that. But we can't check everything. What we have to do is know our distributors. So there are some distributors I have on my resource page at www.healingartofessentialoils. On that website, I have a sources page, and I list my favorite manufacturers and places where you can get them. And it's like, you know, for your health, pay a little bit more and buy the brands that are either in your local health food stores, some place that you trust that knows something about essential oils. You know, do not buy them out of the back of a car at some flea market. You know, don't do that. Buy them from reputable people who know how to handle them. Consider them as precious as you would your prescriptions.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are, because, I mean, it's like you kind of mix and match and you find what works for you, and you can do it in a safe way. Folks, we're speaking with Dr. Kak Young. We're talking about her latest book, and that is Essential Oils for Beginners, A Guide to What They Are and How to Use Them. You can also check this podcast and hear about the first book she wrote on essential oils, and that is The Healing Art of Essential Oils. You can check her out at her website, and that is Kak. Young.com, KACYOUNG.com, or healingartofessentialoils.com, all one word. So, Kak, can these oils be used for children?
They can. There are some oils, and I've listed those in my book. I've listed a whole a section for elderly and children. The younger you are and the older you are, the higher amount of dilution, the less amount of essential oil you want to use. The body, the skin is very, very sensitive. I wouldn't use any essential oils on a child under 6 months. And I would be very careful. There's only like one or two that you possibly could use. And the dilution has to be extremely highly diluted so that there's very little essential oil.
Okay. So how can we use them safely?
Well, we need to learn about them. You know, at the back of my book, I have an A to Z categorization of illnesses or complaints and how essential oils can help them. There's also a section on safety. And I would really encourage people, before you buy your first bottle of essential oil, learn about their safety. Learn that you have to dilute them, that a 2.5% dilution of an essential oil is like for emergency uses for a short time, for something that is not chronic but that is acute. And then you back off of that. You never use a dilution that's that strong past that amount. But you can start with a 1% dilution, and I'm talking adults now, 18 to 55. So you would use a 1% and a 2% dilution, and you can go higher if you need to, but only after you've learned how and what and when and where and why. And it's like using common sense. You want to You want to be gentle with your body using essential oils, so you want to be very careful. Some people can tolerate a higher dilution. Uh-huh. Some people cannot, and it just depends. People can, I know several people that have become sensitized to lavender because they've used it out of the bottle, and the lavender essence is in things like dryer sheets and laundry detergent, and even hotels put uh-huh. lavender essence in some of their laundry products. And if you are sensitized to a given essential oil, lemon, lavender, orange, bergamot, any of those that you use frequently, you will never be able to tolerate them, and they will make you have, it could have an anaphylactic response to this in the most extreme cases. But you also want to be very careful, because once you're sensitized to an essential oil, you can never use it again. That's, you know, that's off your list, that's gone. So be careful how you use them. Be careful how you dilute them. Now, I don't want to frighten people away. This is all learnable. I mean, if you learn how to make chocolate chip cookies and you follow a recipe, that's what this is doing. You just simply follow the recipe, and the book is, you know, inexpensive. It's going to give you guidance for the rest of your life, how to work with essential oils, and you can change your life. You can become green in this. You can use it for household cleaners. You can use them to keep things smelling fresh, including your automobile. It will help you with the laundry. You can take care of musty old smells by using a little tea tree oil in your laundry. There's lots of ways to use this and to use them up carefully. The essential oils will have an expiry date, but you can also use them after the expiry date on certain things. If you were to drop some lemon oil down your garbage disposal, that would freshen that up, you know, but you don't want to put the whole bottle down there, you know, because we are dealing with a water system and we don't want to pollute. So, but, you know, and that's, I give a lot of recipes in my book, how to become green, how to help anything from a cough to a cold to a hurt knee to arthritis, all of that, because I use them. See, I wrote the book because this is what I do. This is how I live my life. My essential oils are my best friends, and they can help me change a mood. They can help me if I'm going to do a talk somewhere and I'm a little anxious. I'll have a little a necklace that I have, a little pendant that's got some felt in the middle of it, and I'll put some essential oil there, and I will feel calm. And I will smell that. If I am driving long distances, I use the same pendant, and I'll use peppermint and lemon to keep me awake and alert if I'm driving 5 or 6 hours somewhere. So they're my friends. I use them, and I've gotten to know them. I started out from, you know, zero about 15 years ago. I used them a little bit, you know, erroneously in a lamp ring in the bedroom. I would put lavender in there so I could sleep well at night, and that was great, but I don't recommend that. That's a little dangerous, so we don't recommend that or do that anymore. But I became curious about them when I learned that they weren't, you know, just off the counter. I couldn't just take them out like a can of soda, pop it, and, you know, there I have. No, you have to learn about them a little bit in order to, you know, really grow your garden with intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you talked a lot about, you know, mixing the oils. What type of medium should we be mixing our oils in? I mean, there's so many different carrier oils out there. Could you name, like, the top three?
The top three carrier oils, well, I think the ones that are most accessible are sweet almond oil, apricot kernel oil, and for those who like a pure coconut, that's a good oil as well. And I like jojoba oil, a pomegranate oil, and then there's seed oils. Seed oils are great for the anti-inflammatory and antibacterial qualities that your skin may have. So they're great for acne, you know, and that would be black seed or apricot kernel or sesame seed or the sweet almond. And then each carrier oil has, of course, different qualities, different healing aspects too, and you want to use those to help you. Like if you're wanting to heal a scar, you could use Tamanu or cocoa butter for your skin, and avocado oil is good, and that's avocado is not the kind that you get in your grocery store that you would buy to cook with. This is actually at your health food store or the place where that sells responsible essential oils. And then you want to keep those carrier oils in your refrigerator. You want to keep them cool because they'll last much longer for you if you keep them cool. Yeah, refrigerate. I keep all of my essential oils in a small refrigerator out in the garage, and I don't have it, you know, cold, like if I wanted to keep milk, but I have it cool, and I keep those there, and they last twice as long as they would if I just had them in, you know, some cabinet somewhere.
Okay. Well, there's, I think two essential oils I want to ask you about. The first one, and we talked about it before the show, lemon and lemongrass. I have tons of lemongrass in my house, but I have no lemon. Do I need the lemon if I'm creating something that is going to be basically antiseptic? Or will the lemongrass work?
Well, the lemongrass has certain qualities to it that are more... you know, it doesn't have the antibacterial qualities that you want there. And that's, you know, lemon oil is an astringent, it's antimicrobial, antibacterial, and it's an antifungal. So it really, it works well with a lot of different aspects of the healing of the body that you may want to do. Lemongrass is more of a, it may have antibacterial qualities, let's just say that, but it isn't the key properties that you want to use an essential oil for. Lemongrass is more for skin.
Okay. Okay, and the other is rose. I love the smell of rose essential oil. There's a couple of types, and it's very expensive. So can you walk us through purchasing rose? And I think rose is one of your favorites, too.
It is. It is. There are a couple types of rose. The real expensive two roses are Rose Auto and Rose, let's see.
Is it the Absolute?
Yep. Absolute, yeah, Rose Auto and Rose Absolute. And they're through solvent extraction of the flowers. Now, it takes 60,000 roses to make 1 ounce of Rose Auto or Rose Absolute. And those are used in perfumes, but most of the rose we get is either in a coconut oil or a jojoba oil. It's mixed. It contains the fragrance that we need, but the absolutes and the autos are for perfume makers and for people who really want to make really strong smelling concoctions that rose do. But you can use a diluted rose essential oil in jojoba or coconut if you want to for your personal uses. It has the same qualities, not as strong as Rose Auto and Rose Absolute, but then there's $300 and $400 for not just an ounce, but like 10 to 20 millimeters.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had said in your book that, you know, you were part of the fires. I don't remember. You're in the Southern California area, and when they had the fires, you were a victim of that, and you grabbed you had your house shoes on, and you grabbed your fur babies, and you left, and the next day you went and you got your essential oils, and rose was one of the first ones that you bought. What was rose going to do for you in that circumstance?
Well, it was a very frightening time. I had to leave my house in my nightgown and slippers in 7 minutes, and I had seven pets. So it took a minute for Pet to get them. And I didn't have any time to do anything for myself. I didn't take glasses or contacts. I just grabbed my phone and my purse and gone. Mm-hmm. The whole hill was on fire. It was the Thomas Fire, and everything in our neighborhood burnt to the ground except our house and three others that are, you know, in our little area. But everything else burnt to the ground. In fact, all the footage you saw about the Thomas Fire came from my street, Skyline Road. So what I didn't know for 3 days if we had a house or not, because when we left, we looked back, and 30 miles of the mountaintops were on fire. 30 miles
wow.
from Camarillo all the way to Santa Barbara. And all you saw was this ring of fire. Uh-huh. So in that instance, you know, you have terror, you have, you don't know if you have a house. You don't know if anything you own is still there. And many of our neighbors didn't have a thing left. So I went to get some rose because I said, I need healing. I need to be able to face this with calm. I need to feel that I am whole, perfect, and complete within myself, that I don't need things to make me who I am. And I relied on Rose to remind me of that, to remind me until I found out if I had a house or not.
Okay, well, it's very calming, very soothing. Now, in the book, you talk about using essential oils and spirituality in ritual work. Could you give us an example?
Well, sure. If someone wants to meditate and heal a particular issue, there are oils for forgiveness, and I would use probably a frankincense for uh-huh. that. I would use a sandalwood to help me get to the issue of forgiveness. For relaxation, lavender is a nervine, so I would use lavender in a meditation for that. You can also use it therapeutically as a massage in the correct dilution. And whatever it is you were trying to heal, you would ask the person giving you the massage to work that into your skin while you did the inner work that you needed to do, or even in a guided meditation, the same kind of a thing. So whatever it is you have in your life that you want to do, you kind of back into it. Like I always back into essential oils. What do I want to solve? Is it body, mind, or soul? Is it emotional? Is it physical? Is it mental? And then I go look for the essential oils that have those properties. I have listed the spiritual cures or the spiritual applications of the essential oils in the book as well, so uh-huh. that people can just look them up and say, okay, I have this problem I want to solve, or, you know, I am worried, I am fearful, I am angry, I have angst, I am, you know, in this time, especially right now, you can have essential oils delivered to you, and you can have the book delivered to you, and you can read about it and learn about it, and then you can figure out how you relieve your own anxiety, how you relieve the anxiety of your family, and how you maybe come to a place of healing using essential oils to help you. So all of those things can be brought to you if you want them in this time, that you can stay safe. Now, you know, my ritual is that I cover my hair. I wear a mask. I've done that since the middle of February because I understand that this coronavirus is amazingly potent and uh-huh. amazingly stubborn. So I go out and I use my mask. Some people can self-made. I happen to have some left over from the fire. But I drop essential oils in there. I drop my antimicrobial, antiviral, and antibacterial essential oils inside. And I use cinnamon leaf, I use clove, I use lemon, I use peppermint. And I put a drop or so of those inside my mask. I will use a lavender spray that I've made myself with witch hazel and lavender and polysorb. And I will spray the inside of it. I'll put those drops in there so that while I'm wearing my mask, I am inhaling the molecules of antivirals, antimicrobials, and antibacterial essential mm-hmm. oils. Then I make sure that my hands are gloved and I sanitize my gloves if I'm out. I'm very careful. Like I said, I cover my hair because somebody can sneeze on your hair, and all you have to do is brush it later, and then all of a sudden you've got, you know, the virus in your house, in your brush, on your hands. So we have to be very vigilant, but essential oils can help us. I use the properties to protect me.
Right. Right, so it's another layer of defense, folks, and it's a whole lot cheaper than going to the doctor to try to find whatever medication Trump is pushing at the current moment. Before I let you go, I do want to share with the audience your hand sanitizer. I made it. Only thing, I made it with lemongrass and not lemon, so I have to go out and get some lemon. But the hand sanitizer, your recipe is 3 pipettes. So for those who don't know, explain what a pipette is, please.
Well, a pipette is something that you used in chemistry class, in your high school chemistry class. You also can get them in Walmart in their medical department has them. You can get them at drugstores. You can buy little pipettes. You don't have to have glass. You can have the plastic ones. But they're single use. If they're plastic, they're single use.
Okay. So 3 pipettes and then 1 ounce of aloe vera gel, 8 drops of lavender, 5 drops of orange, and 2 drops of lemon essential oils. And you mix that together, put it in a spray bottle, and just spritz it wherever you need to use it. And I found that because of the aloe, it's gentle to my hands. It's better than mixing it with an alcohol-based. And it does the trick, and I love the smell.
Yes, isn't that great? Yep, yep. I have made lots of little bottles of that and shipped it to all my friends. So I'm glad you made it and you're enjoying it. I think it will, you know, it will help. It will keep you, keep your hands sanitized during this time. And the aloe vera, everybody should wash their hands still all the time.
Yeah.
Wash your hands. But when you're out, that's a good helper, and the aloe vera helps to keep your skin from cracking because the virus can get into the cracks in your skin since that's, you know, an injured level of defense. So the aloe vera helps keep your skin pliable.
Yes, it does. So, Kak, our time is it goes so fast. What pearl of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience?
I would like to say this at this time, that we are responsible for our own health, and it is up to us to take care of ourselves. The better and the more carefully we take care of ourselves, the more we're going to protect our community and our planet. So everybody, please work together, use your natural products, but most of all, use your common sense as you go out into this world until this virus is capped.
Yeah, and folks, remember, you don't have to be elderly for this to come and get you, okay? It can be any age. And if you don't have the symptoms yourself, you could be carrying it. Before we came on here, we were talking about the poor bus driver in Detroit who was doing his job, shuttling people back and forth, and someone came on the bus and coughed several times without covering their mouth. And then a few days later, that man came down with the COVID-19 virus, and now he's dead, okay, in a matter of 2 weeks, folks. So stop being freaking selfish and, you know, take care of yourself and take care of others.
Exactly. We're all in this together, and we really have to be vigilant at this time, really vigilant. Even if you think, oh, it's never going to get me, it could. So just be careful.
Yes, and be prudent, be careful, and be wise. So, Kak, thank you so much for being with us today as we collectively got over it and talked about essential oils so that we can heal ourselves. I do appreciate your time and attention.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always such a joy to be on your show. Thank you and bless you.
Oh, likewise. And folks, if you're looking to raise your vibration, during this time of coronavirus, and this is April. So for April and May, I'm offering free, absolutely free, 10-minute consultations, only 10 minutes, to answer, you know, a pressing question for you as we're going through this. So all you have to do is send me an email to Monique@MoniqueChapman.com, and we can schedule your free 10-minute, mention the podcast and exactly what podcast it was, so that way I know that people are truly listening and just not passing it on. And we'll take care of that, and we'll talk a lot about incorporating essential oils into your reading. Trust me, we will. And remember, folks, that the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider the making the masterful choice of using essential oils to help you in life. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Agape.